Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Energized or feeling a little bit?
One of them had an apple in
the train. Nice. Well played. That was a great plan for the day ahead. Deborah, walk you through and get you settled, and then we'll be kicking off soon.
Chloe's fixing her hair, she's trying to look cool. She looks quite awkward. She's trying to get across to me here while they're all getting their photos taken. Here she comes. Fresh kicks, Chloe.
Hello.
Are you all ready? Have you been up in a green room getting ready and doing your makeup?
Yeah, you know how it is. Hair, makeup, all done.
Do you have a rider?
I don't want to talk about it, really. No? Yeah, fresh lilies, that kind of thing.
What was it you said the other day? You don't get out of bed for less than 60k.
It was actually. I was in the podcast, yeah. It's lilies, £60,000, white doves, and fresh linen.
Brand new kicks, guys. Yes. Brand new kicks. You got these to look cool.
Down with the kids. Specifically went to JD Sports for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not messing around.
Well, you're looking very fresh.
Cheers, thank you,
mate. Looking forward to seeing you up on stage.
Welcome to the National Football Museum for today's Premier League Changemakers event. Well done on making it all here on time. I appreciate some of you have travelled very, very far to get here. I'm so excited to be your host today. The next generation, the young people who will be leading the way when we've all put our feet up and retired, the young people who will be inspiring those even younger to go on and do great things, the young people who will be making waves in every part of the industry.
All right, Chloe, where are we today?
You know full well where we are today, okay? We are at the National Football Museum and we are here with the Premier League.
And we are here with over 50 girls aged 12 to 15 to explore gender equality and opportunities for women within the football industry, which is awesome.
So today it's not just about being a footballer. It's about appreciating how those girls can become the next generation of coaches, chief execs, scouts, physios, performance managers, nutritionists, whatever they want to be, pretty much.
Yeah, the Premier League's Changemakers programme is behind the event today, and they are all about bringing football together with educational opportunities and leadership training. Man, I wish I had that in my day.
It's all about teaching young girls.
Yes, it is, and we'll be talking to some of the people who are helping to make that happen today, which I'm super excited about. And you are going to be adding a new object to the collection, Chloe. You're going to be in a museum. You yourself, we're going to just put you in.
Yeah, 100%. I plan to be here for the rest of my life. If anyone would like to come by, I'll be in a glass case on floor 3.
Where you should be. No, seriously, what are you gifting to the museum today?
Well, I've been wanting to give it away for quite a long time now. My Spurs shirt. It is one of the most important shirts for me. It was a shirt that I wore during the championship season that we managed to get promoted into the WSL. So going to have a few of the girls sign the shirt, come up with this incredible message to kind of leave at the museum as a kind of a legacy to women's football. I can't wait.
That is amazing. As someone who has exhibited at the National Football Museum, no big deal.
Of course.
It was only temporary, but your shirt's going to be here forever.
And so it should be. I mean, it smells a little bit and it's slightly unironed. So if they could give it back to me at some point in the future in slightly better state than I gave it to them in, that'd be great as well. But
put it in a glass case where no one can smell it. It'll be fine.
Oh, 100%. And then it's going to have the signatures on it that are going to be worth like millions in the future. So I'll just take it back and it'll be like an investment piece.
All right, Chloe, who are we going to be chatting to today?
Who aren't we going to be speaking to today? We have got community captains, we've got women and girls leads, we've got Manchester United people. I mean, not that, you know, I'm sort of biased about that. We've got Premier League Inspires leads. We've got pretty much all the most important people across most of the most important clubs.
And we've got Ruth Shaw, Chief Exec of the Premier League Charitable Fund, to hear all about it as well. So we've got lots to be getting on with, Chloe.
I mean, it's a pretty big day, mate, so we should probably get started. Welcome to Upfront from the National Football Museum. I'm Chloe Morgan.
And I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
Thank you so much for joining us from Leicester City. Can you both tell us your names and your roles at the club?
Yes, my name's Phoebe. I'm currently an Inspires mentor in a city centre school in Leicester.
My name's Corey. I'm also an Inspires mentor as well at a county school, but I also am the targeted interventions lead at Leicester City Community. It's been fantastic to be able to come here and see two of our girl participants, female participants, just getting involved in everything, finding out a bit more about how they can spread the word about the sport, encourage their friends to get involved, learning more about how the sport has developed over the years as well. So it's been a brilliant day to come out here.
I want you to answer honestly about what do you believe when I say this statement. Answer honestly, so agree, disagree. Statement is, female football players will receive equal pay to male players in my lifetime.
Because of the pace that it's moving and improving, I think it's a possibility that it could maybe at the end of my lifetime, but if it sticks at this pace, and like you said, if it keeps on going, we'll keep doing that. But then at the same time, I'm kind of sat in the middle, because then you think about the money gaps and how men's transfers go for like maybe even 150 million, 100 million, and our highest is at 500,000.
So I'm Ryan Hardy, the PL Inspires coordinator at the Foundation, and working across Inspires and PL Changemakers.
And what's been the impact of Premier League Changemakers in Liverpool?
It's been providing the young girls that we work with an extra voice, inspiring to get involved in more sports, not just football, and speaking up within schools and their local communities.
My name is Bex, and I am the girls coach with Kicks, and do stuff on the girls' session.
And you've been coaching in the community with Arsenal for 10 years, including running the girls-only programme. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So with Arsenal in the community, we do some sessions at the school where we speak to the young people about playing football. We then, from the school sessions, try and take them into our other sessions that we do on the estates or at parks or at the Arsenal Hub. So we do stuff like that with them. We also encourage them to try and get into coaching themselves. Mm-hmm. We also have a BTEC program, so some of our participants have gone on to do the BTEC, and some of them have gone on to do jobs and stuff like that. So we're just trying to not only do football, but do some stuff off the field with them.
So my name is Becky Toppin, and at Manchester United Foundation, I am the female development coordinator. I'm the centre manager for our emerging talent centre as well, for our, you know, our pre-academy type girls as well. So.
And what does it mean to you to be able to work with young girls in and around the community and also with Manchester United?
I feel like it's a massive privilege to work with young females in the Greater Manchester area, growing up in this area and obviously aspiring to be a footballer when I was very, very young, and obviously coaching was more of my pathway, less elite. But just being able to sort of give back and do something that obviously I found really, really interesting, and developing that interest in young people is obviously really important to me. And we're in one of the greatest cities for football, so I think to get girls immersed in that is massive.
Great. I was going to say tell us your name, but I already know exactly who you are. Could you tell us what your title is?
Yes, I'm the Women and Girls Lead at the Bristol City Robbins Foundation.
And the Bristol City Robbins Foundation is providing free coaching sessions for women and girls, which you're a part of. What is it that motivates you to continue doing the work that you do?
Well, I get to coach out in the community and see the effect it has on all the women and girls that I'm delivering to. So they motivate me more than anything. And when I do start new sessions in new areas, and normally areas of deprivation, I can see how big an effect I'm having on their lives, their health, their fitness, their like drive to go and be better people. So that's all the motivation I need.
And how did you get involved in the foundation?
So I started when I was 13. I was doing a holiday camp, actually playing, and then I was too old, so I got asked if I wanted to volunteer. Fast forward, I ended up being part of youth council, ended up getting an apprenticeship, and then full-time Women and Girls Lead. Things really important. When I was younger, my parents couldn't afford to pay like lots of money for me to play football, so I'm given the opportunity to girls. You don't have to be rich, you can play football and have the opportunity at a good level. So that's my goal.
A lot of the young people that we work with on Inspires, they either lack self-esteem or confidence, or they struggle with those social interactions. So put them on a football field with people that have similar interests, some people better than them, some people not as good as them, then they constantly are trying to be resilient, grow, learn new skills, build that confidence, take the knocks and then apply that to their life after, which would be really super, super important, whatever career they decide to go into.
And you mentioned there sort of some of the fans in the, you know, the stadium type situation, but you know, Leicester kind of have been at the forefront, I suppose, in having the games, the women's games at the main stadium for the entire season. So how much have you found that that's made a difference to, you know, people wanting to come, the kind of excitement around the club?
Yeah, it's been brilliant so far. We're seeing that more and more fans are coming. We're being able to offer tickets to participants and young people at schools and encourage them to come along with their families, coaches and local football teams, grassroots football teams coming in. And it's growing bigger and bigger. The club are very much on board in terms of supporting it and building that audience. We've even hosted kind of engagement sessions and workshops prior to the game. We've talked about legendary female footballers who have inspired others and how they can now inspire these next generation. And even you know, people like yourself, Chloe, and the role that you guys have played is massive. We're just looking forward to seeing how much it can grow. You know, we've talked earlier about will we ever see the pay gap change? Will we ever see more club support in this? Well, we think absolutely it will happen. We've just got to keep pushing it and keep speaking up about it.
I want to be a walking
dog. You did? Oh, why did you put your hand up?
I was shy.
Oh, my God. I was like, there needs to be one of you there, surely.
You're playing for a team at the moment? I won't play for a team, but I support one. Manchester City.
I'm sorry.
Is it just because they're about to possibly win the league? Is that it?
Nah, I've been supporting them since I was five.
What do you think of Kiara Keating?
Quite good.
She's amazing. You recently started a Somali women's football program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, I was looking at different sessions I could do in the centre of Bristol. There's currently like one women's football club there. There's no girls teams. There wasn't a lot going on, and I was looking at different sessions I could deliver, and we were kind of thinking, well, actually there's a big barrier there that they can't play, because it might be at the gym, they can't just, you know, be free and play how they want to play. There's men involved, so creating that environment where women could play and actually feel freely to take their like hijabs off, or even if they cover up in other ways, actually it's all females like coaching. We give them the opportunity to bring their daughters along, so we have a football session alongside it for the girls, and the women can play, which is really, really great, and it's only grown in numbers. I mean, we have like probably about 50 women on the register, which most of them have never played like football, never played sports since school, and even then didn't even probably play then. So the opportunity is great, and they're all taking it up, so it's a really fun session.
Would you say there's anything you're particularly proud of with the Premier League Kicks programme?
Yeah, I think obviously at Manchester United Foundation we've got so many sites across Greater Manchester. Obviously the amount of girls we're engaging with now is huge, and having that impact on the girls, and obviously joining that with like the Premier League Changemakers, I'm really, really proud specifically of the staff members that are quite young, mm-hmm. who've brought themselves forward to deliver that programme to the girls. So obviously they're coming for the football content, but also delivering the PL Changemakers programme has just meant that the girls have got that added extra leadership responsibility, and some of them are now starting to breach out into the sessions. And one of our particular sessions, which is actually in East Manchester, currently the girls who are working, we've got Lily who's here today, she's obviously working with a group, she actually coaches the younger boys session first,
okay.
instead of taking part in the girls session,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is massive to see. Like, obviously she's 14 years of age, I think she's just turned 14 years of age, and I think for her to already be doing that, it makes me really proud that she feels comfortable and confident mm-hmm. in that environment to actually go out and do that.
And how important do you think it is to see sort of, you know, young boys being exposed to girls in leadership positions from such a young age? That's incredible.
Yeah, I think it's massive. I mean, some of those boys are 6 and 7, maybe a little bit older in that session, but really respectful to her. She, you know, she's the boss, the coaches leave her to it, sort of step in when needed. And I don't think without Premier League kicks, I don't think like that opportunity would arise for her to do that. So I think, and as you've seen today, she's obviously picked up a microphone, she's speaking, it's like she's already got that confidence, and you can imagine where she's going to go with that. I mean, she's a future Premier League kicks coach / Street Reds coach for us in the future, I think, so it'd be great.
And as a man in this kind of environment, can you tell us about the importance of allyship in the women's football space?
It's super important. Obviously, it's previously seen as a man's game, and men coming in and advocating for women and making that positive change within the communities and what the girls see for themselves for the future, it really makes that massive difference.
And speaking to the girls throughout the day, what have been the things that they've been most excited about or most kind of involved in?
I think learning about people's experience and achievement as well. I think it's made it seem a lot more realistic for a lot of them. And seeing other girls here. I think when you're at a CCO or working in the community, we're at our schools, we're in our own bubbles, but to come and then they saw like Liverpool walking, Manchester United and everyone, it was just such a lovely experience. They felt part of something. I think that's so important, is to remind them that they might be one of few playing girls playing football at their own school, but actually they're part of a massive thing nationwide that's going to be really important.
I think it's really unusual, I suppose, to come to a sort of a networking event for people that are so young, to kind of share those you know, different sort of cross-club analysis, and you sort of see girls from Bristol talking to Leicester and Leicester talking to Liverpool. I mean, how lovely has that been, to kind of be in a space where all the clubs are kind of working collaboratively on these prints or in the drama workshops? I mean, that's so unusual.
Yeah, I think it really gets them out of their comfort zone. We were saying they were so talkative on the train, get here, and that kind of all goes out the window, but throughout the day they've got to know people, they've pushed themselves, and without even realising, they'll come away today with that little bit more confidence to go and do whatever it is that they want to do, and they'll associate that with football, which is so exciting.
So they've made friends here, but then as soon as they step onto the pitch against each other,
yeah,
it's no holds barred. No, yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
yep.
what we like. Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Over the next 3 years, the Premier League are investing £21 million into women and girls football. To talk more about that, the community programmes we've been hearing about today, and how she made her way in the world of football as a woman, we sat down with Ruth Shaw.
I'm Ruth, and I'm the Chief Executive of the Premier League Charitable Fund. So that's the Premier League's charity, and we fund clubs up and down the country to do great work in their communities.
First of all, thank you so much for joining us on this incredible day, the Premier League Changemakers event at the National Football Museum. And you've been in and around football now for quite a long time. Could you tell us a little bit about your career and how you managed to get into this space?
Absolutely. I'm an accidental football administrator, I think, because I never played football when I was younger, but I had a love of museums, and I got an opportunity to work at the National Football Museum. And I also spent 5 years as chief executive of the Football Licensing Authority. And that was an organisation set up after Hillsborough for safety at football grounds. Mm-hmm. So really tragic legacy, but an important way of transforming football for the better so that crowds can go and enjoy football safely. And really diverse crowds. I've seen such a change since I did that. I was on the board of Women in Football as well for a few years, which is now a 9,000 strong organisation for anyone who wants to work in the industry and wants gender equality. So men, women, all genders welcome. So I've had lots of opportunities to work on football and sport in other capacities, but I never thought I would be here, but it is probably the best job in football.
Speaking of women in football, not the organisation, but actual women in football, how do you think that has changed since you've been involved in the game?
I think it's changed massively, but there's still quite a long way to go. So one of my early roles, I went to the House of Lords for a football lunch, and my name tag on the table said Mr. Ruth Shaw. And I don't know if that was just because they didn't conceive that I could be the chief executive of an organisation and a woman, or it was a typo. But either way, I think where I was once upon a time often the only woman in a room, a boardroom, or even a, you know, at a match, you might have not found yourself amongst many women. That's really changing. So the face of football is changing. More women, more girls and young women, and more people from different diverse ethnic communities as well. So I think that's all for the better.
And in terms of sort of, you spoke about some of the experiences that you had on boards and things like that. Have you seen the sort of a transition of the way that boards have been made up, I suppose, through the years? And how has that kind of had a greater impact on the women's football space?
I think it makes sense that if you've got diversity in leadership, in boardrooms and at chief exec level, then they're more likely to make better decisions and have more diverse policies, processes and just better use of talent. So I've definitely seen boards that I've worked with and for where there's more diversity, more women, more people from diverse ethnic communities, people with disabilities. And this isn't just about one protected characteristic, but intersectionality, people who bring their whole selves to work and have that diversity of thought as well. They just operate better, they work better. It's hard if you're the only one of something in a room. And so as that continues to change, it's not enough to have one woman on a board. There's a sort of critical mass where you don't feel like you're a single issue person and there's just much better collaboration. So I have seen it change.
Your kind of this event, I suppose, is looking at the next generation of potential leaders or CEOs or even players or coaches. But what kind of, from what you're hearing, what kind of barriers do young girls still face into participation of football?
I think it's really different for different young people, and that's why it's so important that they have a voice on days like today so we can hear from them directly what are the barriers. For some, there might be physical barriers to access, there might be cost barriers, they might have caring responsibilities, there might be things going on in their lives that are complex that make it hard for them to get to a football session. Premier League Kicks is a 52 week of the year offer, so there's always free football for young people, a safe place to go, a trusted adult to speak to. So, and it's when they get those opportunities that anything else that they might want to talk about can come out. So those barriers, the obstacles. Part of that campaign includes education resources, which we deliver in primary schools through Premier League Primary Stars. We've got a brilliant active allyship resource, which is available to all schools across the country. All of our programmes, Premier League Primary Stars and Premier League Inspires and Premier League Kicks, are about positive life skills, attitudes, giving young people the tools they need to achieve in whatever they choose to do, be that on the pitch or off the pitch.
What's great is we've heard some stories from coaches about young girls taking part in these opportunities and then continuing on in more senior leadership roles and actually growing with the programme as well. That must be really special.
It's incredible to see. We've got young people who come as a participant and they may start quietly and it might seem that they're quite shy, and then their confidence grows and their relationships with peers grow, and then they can find themselves in a volunteering role, and a lot of them then go on to be in the workforce as well. So our Kicks program, we think that 1 in 5 of the workforce was a participant previously. Wow. Because it's been running for more years than the charity's been going, and it's there week in, week out, whatever else is happening. So those pathways for young people through volunteering, youth social action, into paid employment are really incredible.
And the Premier League is just about to announce its 3-year update to the No Room for Racism action plan. How will that reflect on your community work?
There's loads of stuff going on with the action plan. It's really busy looking at both how do you tackle discrimination in grounds through reporting, through to setting a standard for all clubs to comply with through the Equality, Diversity, Inclusion Standard, through to pathways as well, programs for coaches, players and executive pathways to support and change that face of football leadership. But the bit we are most focused on is the community work. And so that could be resources that we develop with players as role models. And those resources are sent through primary schools. So every primary school in the country can access our Primary Stars resources. Some of the great ones are on active allyship, tackling gender stereotypes. So there's resources for teachers and young people to have conversations around. But we also have our events and our celebration of role models. So events like today's Changemakers event, where young people get a chance to make history. Also our tournaments, so Primary Stars tournament, our Kicks tournament, and other opportunities that are happening week in, week out across the network through our funded programmes, all part of trying to bring that change, really.
It's been amazing, actually. I just I witnessed the sort of most magical exchange between a young person sort of participating in the event and the drama workshop, where this, you know, sort of they're playing out these scenes. There's misogynistic behaviour and inappropriate language and things being used, and they sort of invited a participant to come up and speak and say, well, you know, how would you change the narrative? And you know, one of these girls sort of came up and actually said, well, you know, she involved herself in the scene and sort of changed the entire structure of how the scene then played out. And it was a really like poignant moment. So everyone stopped and she had this massive round of applause afterwards. She sort of shuffled back to her seat, and sort of so many people came up to her, sort of clapped from the back and said, oh my god, like, this is what you just did there was amazing. I don't think she could quite appreciate what she'd just done for the room. But yeah, I think definitely like events like this do really sort of highlight how important it is to kind of create those safe spaces for people to have these discussions, because they're not easy.
And it absolutely shows that power and potential is in the room. We talk about young people as the leaders of the future, but the leaders of now, you see days like today where they come out of the shell a little bit because they're in that safe environment with trusted adults in a creative space, looking and talking to other people. And it's just, it's so inspiring. I can learn a lot from them.
And you yourself have obviously made your way through football in various different forms and broken many ceilings by the sound of it. What kind of bit of advice would you give to girls and young women trying to do the same kind of thing?
I think back yourself, believe in yourself. If you care about something and you want it, you can make it happen. But also ask for help, because there are a lot of people who might have tried it first or will want to help you. And that's not just about other women. There are male allies as well. And I think just backing yourself is the best thing you can do. Don't doubt. Everyone has doubts. But I think doing it, and then you realise actually just that power and potential you've got to achieve what you dream of.
Well, we are very much, I feel like, seeing the leaders of tomorrow gaining some very valuable skills here today. But if you could sum up the purpose of today's Premier League Changemaker event, what would it be? What would you say?
Empowerment. If I had one word, it's about empowerment. And actually, at one of these events in a previous year, someone's pledge or action was, I'm going to empower myself. And I just thought that was brilliant, because the young people here have got so much talent and self-belief already, but seeing other people who are in a similar situation just gave them that. It was a springboard to even more success. So today's all about empowerment, I think.
Love that. Brilliant. Empowerment and inspiration.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for being with us today, because you're inspiring a whole generation just by what you've done. So thank you.
I'm enjoying it so much. I'll come back here every single
Chloe's
year.
Chloe's been signing forever. It's been hard to get
I've
away.
I've had that in such a long time.
Hi everyone, it's Lauren Hemp here. I hope you're enjoying the event in Manchester today, learning about the game and the inspirational leaders from football's past and present. Today, as you meet each other and learn about each other's strengths and talents and aspirations, remember to keep chasing your goals, supporting one another to reach their goals too. Gender equality is so important, not only in general life, but football too. Women's football has grown year on year, and it is our job to continue that growth and make this a sport for all.
So, Chloe, safe to say this has been a pretty inspiring day. Must have got you thinking about your own journey into the game, how you started playing, how football, I guess, kind of shaped your life, and ultimately, with the help of the Premier League, the kind of executive path you're on now, player to executive path you're on now. It's been quite a journey.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I kind of look around the room and I see sort of 12, 13-year-old girls who are sort of paving the way for the next generation, you think that's incredible. And also, when I was their age, I did not anticipate that I would actually make it into professional football at all. So I think it just takes one of those moments. I was very fortunate at the time with my career and sort of how Spurs went and, you know, going into the WSL. And, you know, it was very accidental in a way. I did not appreciate that would ever be happening. So to see these girls, to see sort of what the potential and the kind of future lies ahead of them, and they might not know what direction they're going to go in. But it's been a really special day.
Despite you becoming professional a little bit later in life, do you still feel like football shaped your identity?
Absolutely. I don't know what I'd be without it now. It's really hard when I retired, thinking that I'm not, you know, playing as a professional anymore. Like, what is my new identity? I mean, I kind of had law, I suppose, but I always quite liked the fact that I was a footballer. So I think I definitely struggled. I think after I left football, kind of figuring out what the next move was for me, and the fact that, you know, I wouldn't be around my teammates as much anymore, I wouldn't be around that environment. I think I was quite lucky with Palace that I sort of stayed on and, you know, did some sports admin for them, because it kind of had me in and around that setup for the year, so I could be with the girls, be at the match days, but, you know, take a bit of a backseat. So yeah, I was fortunate enough to have that transition, but football is still a massive part of my life in the editorial space. I talk about it all the time. I spend time on the pod talking to you about it all the time, so still very much in and around it.
I've been watching you down there taking selfies, doing autographs. It was really hard to drag you away from them all to come and do this podcast record with me. You're obviously being a role model to them. Did you have a role model growing up?
Massively. Rachel Yankee all day. I think, it was a different time, wasn't it? You didn't have like Instagram and social media and all that kind of stuff. And Rachel was one of the first people that I saw in a newspaper, in a magazine. And this must have been like, I can't even remember what the article was about, but I just remember seeing her in an Arsenal kit and thinking, my God, like women are actually, mixed race women are actually playing football at this level. They're affiliated with these massive clubs. I was like, this is absolute madness. So yeah, it's been she was my absolute OG, yeah, all day. And then from a goalkeeping perspective, always like Rachel Brown Finnis, like Carly Telford, like Emma Byrne, yeah, all the OGs, yeah.
Yeah, like we've spoken a lot on the podcast about women's football struggling with diversity, how important is the work then that the Premier League, do you think, and the clubs are doing to try and overcome that and provide opportunities?
Massively. I think to some extent, I think diversity in the women's game was a lot better when I was growing up and going through it. I mean, when I was at Spurs, obviously we were based in North London, we had Tottenham, Enfield, those kind of areas, and they were feeding into the club. Like, you were playing for the club that you were most local to. Whereas now, I suppose, you know, somewhere like Tottenham is putting in international talent from abroad. So I think, those kind of areas where, you know, there's multicultural and diverse areas of London aren't so much the ones that are feeding into some of the teams now. So, you know, when back in the day, it was me, Bianca, we had Jess Naz there at the time, Becky Spencer's obviously still there, Naz is still there. But there was a little bit more diversity, I think, in and around the sort of WSL and Championship. But it is important, I think, coming to events like this and making sure that loads of different voices from different backgrounds, different religions, different cultures are all here kind of mixing together and giving their perceptions on things. Because, it's made for a really, really interesting day.
The Premier League as well is announcing an update to its No Room for Racism plan. You are part of the Premier League Black Participants Advisory Group that helped to shape this plan. What are the main aims? I'm guessing things like these community events are really important to that.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a one-of-a-kind event. Like, I've never been in a space where there's been 60 young people from all different backgrounds, all different cities, all different locations, regions, coming together and kind of sharing an experience, like making their own prints, or, you know, being involved in these drama workshops, or, you know, having a look around the museum and sort of like doing this kind of, you know, fact and hunt finding type of thing. So I think that's definitely, you know, part of the programme, is encouraging young people to, you know, appreciate different voices from different backgrounds. But I think also, you know, when you target young people and you focus, you know, shaping some of their views, challenging some of their narratives from a younger age, like, you start to have that later on. So these people become fans, they might become players, coaches, staffs, and they will hopefully take the things they've learned today into their spaces, so that the spaces they step into become more diverse and better spaces, better, safer spaces.
Because some of those drama programmes, what was quite cool as well was it was giving people the opportunity to be an ally, to learn how to speak up when there's discrimination. I guess, how important is it that we're developing young people to be able to do that, to A, be an ally, and B, be able to speak up when it matters?
I think when you have a look at the history and the context of where women's football has gone through, I think it's very much come from a background of women's voices not being heard, women not being seen, women not being in boardrooms, players' voices, you know, being put to one side. So I think, you know, when you take that and then you change the narrative, you twist it around, you say, actually, we're going to bring you to an event like today. You're 12 years old, but we want to hear what you have to say on these issues. We want to hear what your thoughts are, your challenges, your concerns. I think it completely shapes, you know, what we were telling women back in the day. I mean, look at the Copper 71 documentary that we discussed a couple of podcasts back, and like, those women, having gone out and competed on an international stage in front of hundreds of thousands of people, came back into the UK to find that no one gave a shout about, you know, what they'd done, what they'd achieved, what their voices were, and they just went into nothing. And we're only hearing about it, 50 years later. So I think it prevents things like that happening, where actually you can shout and celebrate the things that these young people will be doing.
Chloe, your shirt is going to be an exhibit now in the National Football Museum, signed by all the kids below. It's a part of history. What one message do you want to include alongside that shirt?
She was here. No, joking.
definitely, I think, the change makers. That was the thing that the message that the girls all voted on today. And I think that's such an important thing to say, is that the girls in this room are going to be the ones who are going to be in the boardrooms, going to be on sports governing bodies, going to be in clubs and organisations. Like, I think, yeah, that ability to inspire change and go on. And it sounds really cheesy, but I actually genuinely mean it. Like, I just want to see all of their faces, like, in Nuco and in clubs and stuff. So, yeah, change makers, I think, is absolutely apt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling inspired. It's given me loads of food for thought. I was very impressed with you and your role today. So,
yeah, well, okay, TripAdvisor rating.
Oh, absolutely.
3 out of 5.
Would return. would consider hiring you. No, it's been an unreal day, some really great stories, and it's been brilliant that we've been able to capture that as well.
I was going to say, shout out to Girls on the Ball today, because you have been running around from floors to floors. I've got to give some context for the National Football Museum. It's across about 19 different floors in a lift that goes probably about as slowly as a sort of donkey on a landslide. It's been an interesting day. Very interesting day. I think we both feel shattered, but we've both got to get trains back. So
we do. I've got a game to cover, Chloe. It's
it's only the Champions League, isn't it? It's the Champions League tonight. Yeah, just that small thing.
Sharing your thoughts and ideas, I think it's magical, because this stuff did not exist when I was growing up and being a player. So a massive round of applause to every single one of you, and thank you for some amazing conversations that I've had with you all today. So yeah, thank you.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.